This is a Clearview original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine.
The Mighty Musca, who's it?
The Mighty Muscadine. It's a grape, and it's grown right here in North Carolina. In fact, the Muscadine grape is North Carolina's state grape.
I thought North Carolina's grape was the Scuppernong grape.
Shh. The Muscadine grape produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when it's under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a whole host of health benefits.
Well, that's all well and good, but in my experience, anything healthy typically tastes like dog water.
And that's the magic of using real natural Muscadine grapes. Muscadine grapes have two extra chromosomes than regular table grapes have. Those extra chromosomes provide a much-needed genetic ability to help build your health. Unlike other fruits or berries, the Muscadine grape can resist mold, bacteria, and viruses without the use of harmful chemicals.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm very rarely in the mood for grape juice.
Well, good news. You can head over to MightyMuscadine.com and see that they have an entire lineup of products designed for everyday use. If you work out, they have protein powder. I know you wash your hair and brush your teeth, right?
Not very often.
That's gross. But if you're a normal person who does, they have shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. They have a one-a-day dietary supplement. They have body lotion. I'm telling you, these guys have it all.
Sounds expensive.
Not at all. All of their products are extremely affordable.
Even for a skinflint like me?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I like you so much. I'm going to give you this promo code. It's T-O-D-A-Y. Promo code TODAY. You use that promo code at checkout and get yourself a sweet discount. And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. Don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com. And use that promo code T-O-D-A-Y. You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinav Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm Jimmy Neutron. Guys quoting Jimmy Neutron over in the back. I'm John Galantis.
And you can find our show online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. If you guys want to cut up, at least turn your mic on and do it so it doesn't sound like I'm laughing at nothing. If you guys want to help us keep the conversation going, you can do so by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description box so you can do just that.
And the verse of the day today coming not from Jimmy Neutron, but from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 29.
Got a blast.
But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men."
That's true, man. And a lot of our problems in life would be so much easier, so much better if we just obeyed God rather than men. I know Dr. Shah told a story one time about R.G. Letourneau, who kind of had that same, I think we've told it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. R.G. Letourneau was a brilliant, brilliant man of God. He was a what do you call it? Not an inventor, but like he manufactured big, heavy equipment. Industrial equipment. And he was in some financial woes, right? He was in some financial trouble, some debt. He couldn't even pay his workers. And so he went to church and they were doing like a missions thing where they were like, "We want you to pledge for missions." And he felt called to do it, but he was like, I can't even pay my workers. Some of these people sitting in the pews work for me. And if I'm giving money to this mission and I can't even pay their bills. And God said, "Listen, obey God rather than men."
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening was he ended up making such a huge deal on the back half of that experience that he was able to pay all his workers an extra. And that's how God works, when you obey him rather than obey men and worry about what men think.
That's right. It's always better to obey God than to obey men. We're so prone to listen to and do what we're told. I mean, that's kind of how we're pre-programmed as a society. But God's rule trumps man's rule. Mm-hmm. And we should always look to him as opposed to the laws in the world around us. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we would never say disobey for the sake of being disobedient, but if it comes down to it and you are called to stand up in, you know, respectful disobedience because of what God's word says, we're called to do that as believers.
I got a personal story about how obeying and just doing what you're told can go very wrong. Very wrong. Very, very wrong.
Well, before we dive into that, I want to remind you that all of these verses come to you from the Date the Word app. It's a great way to stay up to date with God's Word and to get God's Word as a daily part of your life. You can download it for free on iPhone or Android. Every single day connects today's date with God's Word with the hope of making it more memorable for you.
That's right. Thank you to the Date the Word app. So last year, maybe it was last year or the year before last. I can't remember.
It was last year, wasn't it?
It might have been last year. It's pretty recent. I still feel the raw burn of shame and humiliation and regret. So it was mid-June or July. It was late summer, well beyond Mother's Day.
Yeah,
Mother's Day is in May. So I'm up on stage, right? And we're leading worship. And between the last song, thank you guys, you may be seated, and the pastor coming up, we do just a short welcome. Hey, welcome to Clearview. Thank you for worshiping with us. Make sure you fill out that connect card. If there's anything we can pray for you, yada, 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 all that good stuff. Okay. So we have what's called a confidence monitor, or it's just a projector on the back wall that the audience, the congregation can't see. They're looking at the main screens that have like welcome, nice graphics, but then there's text on the back wall that's invisible to them, but we can see it from the stage that kind of tells us, gives the bullet points. Here's what you don't,
here's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a Mother's Day script, right? It was like, hey, thank you for all the moms to be moms at hearts, blah, 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 blah. I'm on autopilot, right? We've just got out of the third song. The spirit is moving. Everybody be seated. Emotions are high. The moment is there. So you want to say something that's emotional and ties in. That's really the trick, is to not interrupt the flow.
Yeah.
The flow of worship is still going. You don't want to halt it and be like, hey guys, here's all the housekeeping stuff. So I saw the Mother's Day script on the wall and I was not even thinking. It's not even close to Mother's Day. Mother's Day was like 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah. It's not like it wasn't like last weekend or like a couple weeks ago. No, it's several months past.
I just started reading it.
Late July, maybe even late, early August.
It was like going into, like, Father's Day was done.
Yeah.
Father's Day was already passed. Yeah. And so we were like, I was like, man,
Mother's Day to all the moms.
Yes.
Mom's
I was like, from all of us here at Clearview, we just want to wish you guys a very, very happy Mother's Day. You know, we're grateful. We're so grateful for the women in our lives who sacrifice so much. And I'm like going in.
All the moms are like,
people are confused. Question marks over every head in the sanctuary. They're like, what? What? Halfway through, I realized, oh my goodness.
It's not Mother's Day.
It's not Mother's Day. They just left it on the back wall from, I think it was from the last time we did that song. And it was like, I was like, I don't know what to do. I'm mid speech right now. I just finished. I just committed. Yeah, I just finished strong. So
that's when you turn around on people and be like, I'm sorry. I just wanted to recognize and honor the moms in our lives. Do you not think that every day should be Mother's Day? Because that's really a you problem.
I don't get embarrassed easy. I really don't get embarrassed easy. I was pretty red faced.
Make sure you, larger point, make sure you check your confidence monitors
and
your lyrics.
That's right.
Double check. Get another set of eyes on there. If you've ever had a technical blunder like that in front of people, write in and let us know. 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm Ellie.
And we just want to take a second and let you know about Dr. Shah's new book on the market right now called Can We Recover the Original Text of the New Testament? Boy, that is a long title.
True, but it's a very simple message. The original text of the New Testament is not only attainable, but there are lots of different ways that scholars go about discovering it.
There's a lot of people out there saying that the original text is lost forever, or that it's hopeless to actually try to find it, or that there's many texts of the New Testament. But alongside Dr. David Allen Black, Dr. Shah has actually compiled papers from some of the world's leading experts in textual criticism, including one written by himself on various methodologies for extracting the original text. And listen, if you're interested in textual criticism, this book is a great introduction to the field.
You can pick up your copy on Amazon, or you can buy it from our church website. That's clearviewbc.org. We're going to leave a link in the description box so you can get your copy today.
Love that. Ellie, let's hop back in.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. We are coming at you live from the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shah, happy Mother's Day, dude. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms-to-be, moms at heart. No.
It's not. Why are it's we, not Mother's Day.
Why are we clapping?
Oh, because Dr. Shah. We were talking early. I thought you were going to do it. You want to try again?
Sure.
We're going to get that. We're going to get that on our little sound effects board soon. We were talking about last year. It was sometime around late July. borderline August, yeah. when some they,
the,
someone
the point there being not near Mother's
no,
Day.
No, not even close. But someone, remember, I don't know if you remember, but on the back wall, the projector, the confidence screen set had the Mother's Day script, and I just started reading it to the congregation. I don't know if you remember that.
Happy Mother's Day to
all the moms. It was like late July. But,
oh yeah, I remember that. But they put it in July.
And so I was reading it, and it just like when you get up there, like I don't know what happened.
And I was like.
You in the whole church. The
why did he...
Everybody just
it was
very
like,
puzzled.
It was already passed, right?
Oh, yeah. For, like, for well I think passed. Father's Day had passed.
Yeah, I was like, why did he just
that? We were coming to the end of summer.
I believe it was like we were gearing up for the school. Father's Day was already over, but it was on the back wall, and I was just in auto mode, and I was like, but anyway, we just want to thank you guys for being here. Happy Mother's Day to all our moms, moms-to-be, moms at heart. We just want to let you know we appreciate you guys. And everybody's like...
You just rolled with it. Just
so many question marks.
Was it like somebody forgot to
up.
Take it,
mm-hmm.
take
so
it
we,
out?
We did a song on Mother's Day right. and then didn't do that song
that's
again.
Why. I was trying to figure out why it was left, but it was
because it was attached to the end of the last song on the screen. So nobody else on the main screens, everybody just saw, you know, Welcome to Clearview. But on the back of the screen, I saw the Mother's Day script. So I started reading it, and halfway through, I realized I was like, I have messed up. Has anything like that ever happened to you where like you start, you're in front of like 400 or 500 people. You start talking and you realize halfway through, like this isn't right.
It is. It happened in the early years.
Uh-huh.
So guess what I do now?
What?
I have my entire message written out.
Right.
Word for word. Okay. Word for word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now I don't read word for word, but I have it in front of me just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people can think on their feet like that.
Yeah. It's not Mother's Day. We can agree
on
that.
It's not Mother's Day.
But it is a very special birthday today.
It is.
And it's not your birthday.
It is not my birthday.
It's not Dr. Shaw's birthday. It's not Nicholas.
Nope.
It's not David.
Nope.
It's not even me.
No, it's not. It's not the Clearview Today Show.
It's not the Clearview Today Show. We're celebrating a very special birthday today.
Someone who could think on his feet and was good in front of a crowd.
My boy, Patty.
Don't call him that.
Patty Henry.
Don't call him that. Patrick Henry was born today on this day, May the 29th, back in old 1736.
Now, Dr. Shaw, there's someone listening today who probably has got like a D+ in history, and they're saying, who on earth is Patrick Henry?
Patrick Henry, oh my goodness, give me liberty or give
me
death.
That's right.
Well, that's too weak. Can we have like a...
Yeah.
If they had the air horns back then, they would have sounded.
They would have been like. They would have been like. Woo, 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 woo.
Well, he was born in a kind of a rural Virginia family. Started his career at 16 as a struggling storekeeper, and then as a farmer, and then he went on to become a successful self-taught lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, this is by 1760. His father kind of trained him. And he became one of the greatest orators of our history.
True.
Of the American Republic. And we know about the give me liberty or give me death speech.
Right.
But there's another speech I want to read for y'all, you know, sometime in this conversation that I think, in my opinion, the words are even more powerful than the give me liberty or give me death speech
that he gave
at St. John's Church in Richmond. I've been to that church.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
When did you go? You went recently?
No, we went there. Oh, my goodness. We went there in 2010.
Okay.
Yeah, 2010, our whole family went. Nicole, myself, our four kids. And I don't know if Nicholas wants me to tell the story. Can I tell the story?
Do you even know what he's talking about, Nick? He said, I think so.
He remembered this one.
So we got to St. John's Church in Richmond, which is where the Second Virginia Convention had gathered in 1775. Okay, and so outside, when you walk in to the churchyard, I guess you can say that, you walk in into a graveyard. All around the church are graves. And so we walk in. So if you ever have been to St. John's Church in Richmond, you kind of park your car on the side of the road. There's not like a parking lot. You park your cars on the side of the road, and then you make your way towards the front where you climb up the steps, and then you are in the graveyard, and then the church is just directly in front of you. So we walked in there, and St. John's Church has the graveyard has some very prominent people buried there. I think Wythe, who was Thomas Jefferson's mentor, is buried there, if I'm not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyways, we walked in standing and looking at the graves, and this massive graves here, graves there. And there was a guide. He was talking to some people. So we're sort of like listening in on that conversation. And one of our children.
I wonder which one.
I won't mention any names. Said it as loud as he could.
Uh-huh.
Who died?
Well.
How old was this unnamed child at the time?
This individual, this young lad.
2010.
2010.
Yeah, 2010. Let's see. 2024.
I mean,
that person is 20 now.
Yeah.
Oh, so they would have been like seven or eight.
Seven years old. Yeah, he said as loud as he could. And everybody stopped in the turn and looked at it. And of course, the girls are like laughing. And I'm like, shh. But the whole time, we're just having a great time. Thinking, who died?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an obvious question. It's like, we're here.
Yeah.
And that's right. George Wythe, or White, I guess, or With, I don't know. Yeah, he's buried in St. John's Episcopal Churchyard in Richmond, Virginia. Thank you,
wow.
David, for finding it. That's him. And he was known, Patrick Henry was known mm-hmm. for being this person who spoke out.
Right.
You know, he was known for his just... the way his rhetorical excellence, mm-hmm. I guess I can say, just the way he would talk about, and like in 1763, he won fame mm-hmm. first time as a young lawyer. He was attacking the established Anglican clergy because they were demanding more money from the parishes.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he went after them. Like, how dare you, right? This is 1763. And then 1765, he was elected to the Virginia legislature. And then in 10 days right after he was elected, he spoke out against the king in parliament and called them tyrants for taxing the people without their consent.
Wow.
This going is Patrick
in.
Henry.
Yeah,
I mean, he came in fighting, but he came fighting with words.
He's standing on some business.
Yes.
It's kind of interesting, and I really love that. And I think I respect that a lot about people back then is when they talked and when they spoke, there was substance. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
Because not everybody had that platform back then, whereas right. you think about now, everybody has a platform, has a microphone, and a podcast. And yeah, they're not saying nothing.
Yeah.
Even people I admire. There's even people like celebrities. Not celebrities, but figures that I admire who, if you really listen to them, they're not saying much of anything.
Right.
But they speak well. You know what I mean?
That's right. And for Patrick Henry, I mean, this is now, let's jump ahead, 1775. Now, it seems like just yesterday he was talking about the clergy and today he was talking against somebody else, the tyrants, mm-hmm. the king. And day after he's talking about give me liberty and give me death.
Right.
But that's not true. I mean, years are passing
by. A lot of
by.
Time has elapsed.
So he's learning, he's growing, he's becoming more and more influential in these colonies, especially in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
as a man you look to rally the people, to move them to action. And if I can read this speech, I mean, this is a powerful speech, the one that he addressed as... to the president of the convention, mm-hmm. he said it this way. He said, "Let us not, I beseech you, sir, deceive ourselves longer. Sir, we have done everything that could be done to avert the storm which is now coming on. We have petitioned. We have remonstrated. We have supplicated. We have prostrated ourselves before the throne."
Wow.
"Our petitions have been slighted. Our remonstrances have produced additional violence and insult. Our supplications have been disregarded, and we have been spurned with contempt from the foot of the throne. Sir, we are not weak. If we make a proper use of those means which the God of nature has placed in our power, 3 millions of people armed in the holy cause of liberty and in such a country as that which we possess are invincible by any force which the enemy can send against us. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. Its life is so dear, or peace is so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. You gotta have a bigger applause.
I gotta get
like an uproarious, like that would have been like an eruption in applause.
But
like
I think that probably was closer to how they may have responded. I don't even know if they clapped.
Yeah, true.
We were walking around with the guide, and if I'm not wrong, they said at the time, I may be wrong, they said there were no clapping. I mean, the people would clap,
right?
But I don't think that speech got the claps that we envisioned today.
You think it was more like stunned silence?
Like, oh my, you're that's a little too much, because what you're saying is either that or I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fighting.
Yeah. Like if today somebody says, hey, I'm going to die for that, what do you immediately are? Ears you're, perk up and you're like, oh.
Yeah, you're kind of on
gonna
edge.
Do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. Yeah. And he is not just you know, a person who is moved by passion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his rhetoric is pretty passionate, mm-hmm. but he's not just a person moved by passion. This is intelligence. This is eloquence. These are powerful words. They're coming from scripture. They're coming from Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gentlemen may cry, peace, peace. I mean, the false prophets were saying, there's peace. You know, we're going to work this out.
Yeah.
And he's saying, there is no peace coming. Yeah. There's war coming.
Wow.
And so that is so powerful just to think about the time in which he said those words.
Mm. Yeah. The country is, I mean, not yet a country, but it's on the path to independence and that road through the Revolutionary War. I'm just imagining, like, what would it have been like to live in those days and to, you know, to have existed before America was America,
mm-hmm.
and to watch that process happen in real time and to be able to stand up and say things like, give me liberty or give me death, to believe in that cause so much.
I even think like the forward thinking, like having the foresight of knowing what's coming. And so what I mean by that is like these days, what you hear is we need to go back. We need to go back to the 50s, mm-hmm. back to the 60s when everything was good and everybody was Christian. And Patrick Henry, and I feel like these revolutionary guys, just like you said, Dr. Shah, they knew like there's no going back. There's no peace coming.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to march forward on our terms.
Yeah.
And I wonder if America is getting to that place again, or if we feel like revival to what once worked is still possible.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not saying that we're hopeless, but saying, okay, we're never going back to this place. Or is it more like, hey, we can, if we get our hearts and minds right, we can get back to this place and not have to carve something new.
If going back to the place involves is more about my personal convenience and things I am familiar with and my ease among people like me,
mm-hmm.
if you want to go back to that, that day is gone.
Yeah.
That's not coming back. And I don't think you wanted to come back,
mm-hmm.
because that day also had evil in it.
Yeah.
But if going back means values, if going back means the gospel of Jesus Christ, if going back means going to the heart of what the founders of this nation really believed,
mm-hmm.
and what they stood for, then I think it's possible.
Yeah.
That is possible. But going back is like the good old days, man, mm-hmm. when you sit on the front porch and, okay, I think you're nostalgic.
Right.
But nostalgia doesn't always mean things that will last forever. Nostalgia just means I like those days where I did things my way, and I had my friends and people I was comfortable with, and this is how it worked.
Yeah.
I'm not that interested in that, because you're not going to get many takers on that.
That's right. We just did an episode on that very recently.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, I'll link to it in the description.
When you make that point before each one of our plays, especially the last several shows that we've done, mm-hmm. have been that sort of nostalgic feeling. I mean, we did things like Tom Sawyer, Little Women,
right?
Those timeless tales. Yeah. But you bring it up in each one, like nostalgia is fine, but nostalgia for nostalgia's sake is incomplete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not lasting. It's not permanent.
Right.
We need to be nostalgic for the values.
We're looking to something that worked back
then. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And those values, okay, now you got me on board.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I like the old things. Mm-hmm. Of course I do. You know, I like cowboys and I like the Westerns, the old Westerns. I mean, there's something to that. But to think that we can somehow bring back that era.
Mm-hmm.
Like what era? What, I mean, like Bonanza?
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a TV show.
Right? Yeah.
What era are you talking about? The 1880s?
Yeah.
Like what, Tombstone? I mean, what era are we talking about?
What are you searching for?
What are you searching for?
Yeah.
I like the freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I like the independence. I like people who are strong and are willing to stand for values.
Right.
good guys are good. Bad mm-hmm. guys, you better run. I mean, that's different.
And to someone like Patrick Henry, that was the future.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was he wasn't looking to get back to the good old days when the colonists were doing their own thing or whatever. He saw that they had taken the nation as far as they could take it under Britain's rule.
Right. It was time to separate. It's time to move forward.
As a leader, do you find yourself having to do that? Having to say, okay, I have to kind of determine the time to change or the time to transform the culture?
Yes. You know? Yes. I truly believe that. I believe we are the Patrick Henrys of today in a different sort of way. If they were living today, I think they would be on the cutting edge of what we're doing.
True.
Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, James Madison, Patrick Henry, John Hancock, all these people would be on the cutting edge.
What do you think it takes for Christian leaders to get to that place today?
Wow. For one, I mean, you need a real relationship with Jesus Christ. You got to get an understanding of the gospel for yourself. You need to believe that the gospel is the truth from ancient times. It's the truth that goes back to the beginning, the Proto-Evangelium.
Yeah,
that is the gospel, and the gospel is about Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection. You got to get that in your core, in your DNA, and then understand that the history of the world is simply the history of people either accepting or rejecting that gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And civilizations were built or they fell apart based on whether or not they opened the doors to that gospel.
Mm.
You know, even before the coming of Christ, the gospel was there. It was portrayed as Abraham and Sarah moved. It was portrayed when Joseph was in Egypt. It was portrayed when Solomon was the wisest man in the world. It was portrayed when God's people were taken into exile, whether it's the Assyrian or the Babylonian exile. It was portrayed when Jesus came. I mean, it was portrayed.
Right.
And then through the ages, through the centuries, it has been portrayed. And so what does it take to understand, man, this is not just a means to an end or just a way to make a living. Mm-hmm. This is the way the world was intended to be.
That's true. That's right. Okay. This is God's design.
This is God's design. This is what brings life in people. This is what gives people hope and eternity.
One of the things that is very that has helped me a lot working here at Clearview is that there's always a why behind everything we do, not just a how. I'm a how person. How? Okay, I see what you want. How are we going to do that? But understanding the why behind it and the heart behind it truly has. And I know that it seems like that's just something that leaders say because they don't know what the how is, but that's not the case. Knowing the why shapes the how for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's why I love the way that we do this, because in this room, there's a lot of technology. There's a lot of how. But I think sitting here at this table, there's a lot of why.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's why it works so well. That's why I think we're seeing Clearview doubling, tripling, quadrupling its success. Also with this radio show.
Mm-hmm.
It's evident, and God is making it so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, going back to Patrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in the last few years of his life, the revolution is over. America now is a nation. You know, he wanted government to be very involved with religion. In fact, he wanted to see the state support of all Christian denominations.
Wow.
Which I'm glad it didn't work out. I think it's better to have everybody independent.
Right.
What we've made it today, the separation of church and state is baloney.
Right.
Yeah.
But what he was saying is no. We need to make sure that government is involved in church and supporting all denominations. Well, his reasoning behind was in the last years of his life. Now we're coming into the 1790s. Okay, he became increasingly concerned about the growing deism in this new nation. So he was very concerned about that. And so in 1799, believe it or not, he came out of retirement to run for a public office in Virginia.
Man.
That's incredible.
And at this stage in his life, he is 63 years old.
Uh-huh.
And he ended up having stomach cancer.
Oh, no.
Mm. Yeah, this is June the 6th. And, you know, his doctor tried to give him medicine just to ease his pain and all of that stuff. And there's a little story about how it all came to an end. They found a small envelope sealed with wax near his last will and testament. And in this envelope, they found a single sheet of paper, and he had written these words: which to me is those words are more powerful and more precious than his give me liberty or give me death speech. Mm-hmm. This is what he said. He said, whether this will prove a blessing or a curse will depend upon the use of our people, will depend upon the use our people make of the blessings which a gracious God had bestowed on us. If they are wise, they will be great and happy. If they are of a contrary character, they will be miserable. Righteousness alone can exalt them as a nation. Reader, whoever thou art, remember this, and in thy sphere, practice virtue thyself and encourage it in others.
Wow.
P. Henry.
Wow.
I mean, he wrote that down
yeah.
and kept it in his last will and testament.
Wow.
Yeah. And incredible. I mean, and he's buried not far from here.
Yeah.
Red Hill, which is if you go up from Clarksville and head towards, like you head towards Lynchburg.
Yeah.
And yeah,
you'll come to Red Hill. I see a filming project in our future.
Yeah. I've been there.
That's amazing. Man, so incredible to listen to these stories about Patrick Henry and about these other men who have shaped our history. Hopefully today was helpful for you. Write in and let us know what you learned from today. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries for the gospel of Jesus. Lots of great content coming your way. Stay tuned. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.